Hey guys, welcome to Listen Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You're Special. This is the arena where we don't just talk about purpose, we ask if you're actually living it. Because the truth is, a lot of people have a message. They can say the right things, they can post the right quotes, you could sound inspiring. But when it comes to real life, there is a gap between what people say and how they show up. And that gap, that's where people lose trust because God didn't call you just to speak, He called you to live it. So today, let's talk about what it actually takes to embody your message. Today's guest is David Chemetsky. He's a speaker and podcast host focused on helping people overcome challenges and step into something more. David, thank you for coming into the hot seat today. Take me to a moment in your life where what you were saying and how you were living didn't match, and what happened?
Well, it's happened a few times in my life. Actually, as we grow, we sometimes feel that we're not always our most authentic self, and we're scared. For a long time, one of the things, one of my nicknames growing up was Kid Ego. So I was this loud person, and just because I wanted to be heard, and most people, the louder you get, the less that they're going to hear you. So it'd be frustrating. It'd be a lot of things that was going on. So at that time, that wasn't who I was. I didn't know that. And going through a lot of different things through life, as we go through life, we start learning more and more about ourselves. And by doing that, that's where we really turn it up to start growing a little bit more if you're open to it. And at the beginning, I wasn't open to it. But once you start opening up and you see the changes, that's where it really starts coming into a lot more power.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. In those seasons of change, what is that feeling for you like internally, and what were you avoiding or not fully facing in the beginning of those seasons?
Yeah, I mean, when I look at it now, I wasn't even facing myself. The fears that I had, I didn't realize why they were fears. Those unintentional moments that you have. I remember one of my first girlfriends that had said, "Dave, you're like a kite. We were in love, and you're like a kite, but every now and then you have to get pulled back in. You get all over. I get distracted, like many of us, with many things, and the squirrel syndrome. There's a shiny object, and I didn't know all those things at the beginning. Now I'm much more aware. I'm attuned. I think there's a, that looking into ourselves as we get older, we look into ourselves and realize, or we experience things that we ha that have happened to us, and you're like, how did I get through that, or why did I get through that? And I had a su suicide attempt 6 years ago, and from that moment on, all the th I've had a lot of success afterwards. But what took me to get to that point was such a darkness that I understand when people talk about darkness. But because of that, I also understand how I could help, and how I have helped other people lift out of that darkness and been successful.
That's a serious moment. And I mean, the conversation I think doesn't happen enough. But I've had, just even on this show, spoken to a lot of people where suicide was an option at some point in time. Is that the shift, like the big shift that really forced you to get honest with yourself? Or was that kind of before, and that was just the emotional baggage of that radical honesty of really looking in the mirror?
It was a shift that definitely took me to a next level. I thought I was already at that level. I thought I could handle almost anything, and I didn't know. In fact, at that point, I was coaching people. I was helping people through lots of different strategies on mental wellness. But the thing was, I wasn't doing it myself. So, after my attempt, during my attempt, I heard this voice. You have to go back and tell your story. You have to go put it out there. And I didn't know really what that mean. And really, it's grown. That message has grown so many different ways, not only with mental wellness, but even just writing books. I mean, the book behind me right now is my first book, and I've published, a bunch of books at this point. So self-published a bunch of books. I've been in a bunch of Amazon bestsellers and things like that. That's been the real powerful is our story keeps growing. I'm in the process of publishing a couple of books in the next couple of weeks, but each one's a different story. Each one is a story, and that's why I love having these conversations, because somebody needs to hear it, that wherever they feel they're at right now, but when we grow through it, and it's not always, you can't grow by yourself. Sometimes you're going to need to have that life preserver and somebody who's been there. And that's where, in the past years of going through it and knowing where I thought I was, and knowing that I'm just still just scratching the surface on some of the awesome things that I'm about to do, and keep growing and learning. I remember talking to somebody growing up that they said, with investments, and this is not investment advice, but he was in his 80s and he still did it aggressively. He goes, you want to keep learning, and you never want to kind of hit the brakes unless you need to. And that's what I always watch now, that self-reliance and that ability to look within myself, that I then grow. I always check with myself, once or twice a day, depending on what's going on, and be able to sit in some serious situations and know how to deal with it.
I mean, I think that is incredible. And like you were talking about earlier, you have a lot of books. That's a lot of stories collected. I say it on every show, your mess is your message. What is something that people don't realize about having a message?
A lot of people that I find don't feel that they have a message, and until you sit down with them and you talk to them, because some of it is society, right? We're supposed to have these, Oprah messages. Not everything's an Oprah message where it's everybody has to hear it. Sometimes, and as a speaker, I mean, I'm sure, your audience, there might be thousands of people listening to it, but only one person really heard it in a way that they can move from it. And that's where I just had this, I was coaching somebody, and they said, only one person responded to me after my speech. I go, that's awesome. And they felt bad about it. And I go, but you connected with one person. They might have all heard you, but if you connect with one person, there's a great saying that says, if you save one person, you save the world. And that is really so true, because you never know where that message goes to and where you can motivate some people.
I love that. Where are you seeing, or how do you kind of call out the bullshit of people that sound inspiring, but you can kind of read through the lines and tell they're not living it?
Well, I'm from Brooklyn, so
Haha.
I'm a little, part of you either like me or you don't, and that's okay. Either way, I with my clients, when I first sit down with them, when I was working only in mental wellness, I said, if we're still here in 6 months, I'm not the right guy for you. And I still do that with my current clients on the book writing and the speech. I go, if you're not improving, I'm not the guy for you. I'm going to tell you a little straightforward how to do it. And that was one of the things that attracted me to the podcast. The straightforward, you have to be honest with yourself. And when you're honest with yourself, that's when you can grow. You can grow by yourself. It's much more helpful when you're growing with people, but you have to be honest with yourself. I know my errors. I even know in my own business, I know where I could do better at and where I could probably pull back a little bit from. But you'll find the right people, you find your right tribe by being your most authentic self. And that's, my podcast is Peace, Love, and Bring a Bat. And everybody thinks that that's the violence. And I go, no, it's about being awesome today or being authentic, and that's really what it comes down to, is when we're our most authentic selves, we're comfortable, right? When you're with your friends, you might be really comfortable, but when you get to know me, I'm this way with my friends and without my friends, because that's who I am. I don't put on a different face for certain things.
I relate to that. I'm a mom of six. I don't have time to put on the masks. Like it takes too much energy to pretend or to
100%.
try to not be who I am. What do you think is the hardest part about living in alignment with your message? What do people struggle with?
I think the hardest problem is that not everybody's going to agree with you. Right, we all want to be liked, right? That's what social media loves to do, is to get us to be likes and the little hearts and all that stuff. It's okay not to be. You want to know something? That's why I pub, you know, one of the first books I published was a fiction book, and they're like, "Oh, you're not really a fiction writer." I'm like, "I am now." And the great story about that is I went, my mom had passed away, so I went with took my girls to on a cruise. I came back from the cruise, that book had become an Amazon bestseller,
Nice.
and I didn't care. It wasn't about ego, and it's the stories I want to hear after reading it. What do you feel like after reading a book? If you don't have any feelings about it, then okay, I didn't do my job. But if you had a feeling and a thought, some people are like, "Oh, that wasn't the best book ever." I'm like, "I didn't ask it. I didn't say it was going to be. I'm not Ernest Hemingway, but if I got you some sort of feeling or some emotions out of it, then I won." And the win is that I changed somebody else's life.
No, I think that's incredible, and it's a great way to kind of face that, not pressure, but I guess pressure of your potential of, honing it into, like you said, one person. I could never just say I'm speaking to a whole audience today. I would have never pressed record on my first episode. I've been podcasting for 3 years. Never would have done it if I felt like I had to talk to everybody. But if I could sit down and I know there's just one person that sees that, that's the magic. And I think social media is bullshit. It's a very curated experience. And, I just hit Amazon bestseller with my fifth book,
Congratulations.
for the first time. Thank you. I do celebrate that stuff. That's a big deal for me, but it was the first time I did it. And the crazy thing is I, my publisher and I, we did like a Amazon thing where she's like, let's give the Kindle. We're going to do that. So promote. So I posted like 6 times a day. Not a like, not a heart, not a comment, nothing. Social media was radio silent on every post I made, but my book still made it to the top, to the top.
The right people are going to find it,
Exactly.
and you want to know. I'll tell you another story. So I did a TEDx talk right after, about a year after my suicide attempt, and I was about being a phoenix rising out of the ashes, and it was I had practiced, I got everything down, and it's out there, it's published, and it doesn't look that great. I could do so much better, but because that morning I got up in the morning and I said, "Oh my God, everybody's going to know about my suicide attempt." I still wasn't that comfortable, and it was overwhelming. It was the weight. And now I get up on stages. I was on a stage last year where I stood on a chair, talked about my suicide attempt, and it was great. Now I talk about it regularly because of the fact that,
It helps
When
you.
you're comfortable and you're securing yourself, I wasn't that secure, and I always build more and more security. If anything, I now push the envelope as much as I can because I enjoy it. That's where I write these fiction books, because I can, and they're called out to me. And I help people write their books, and the magic that I bring in really adds so much value that other people would be like, "Well, his grammar, there's some errors here, there's some errors there." Yeah, that's fine. Then don't buy it, or I'll give you back your $3,
Well, in that experience where you're helping people, you're helping them overcome challenges, what's the real barrier that you think most people are dealing with?
Well, it goes back. A lot of the barrier is that self-talk. My story isn't my, nobody wants to hear my story. No, I don't have a story to tell. Those are the biggest things, that's facing most of us, and especially entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs don't want to, they don't always spend the time to narrow down their story and have it aligned with their business. I mean, that's why the background is, it's your time to soar. I use a lot of those metaphorical messages on lifting us up to the next level. And even the book was a bunch of poems, and people were like, "Oh, you're a poet now?" I'm like, "No, I'd always been doing it. Nobody just knew about it." I go, "I just put it out there." And it's that journey that we take from the first heartbeat we hear in our mother's womb to where we grow, and we get lost along the way. So I think with a lot of people, we just need to make sure that they understand the power of their story, and that it's aligned. If you're an entrepreneur, you want to be aligned with whatever story and whatever service you're providing. But for other people, I think it's so powerful because I've been in Toastmasters and all those things. It's so powerful to hear your story, to have let your story, your ideas be heard.
Yeah, I very much agree with that. And if I could physically shake so many of my listeners, I would, because all of these conversations, there's still someone sitting out there right now just thinking that their story isn't enough. And, I just want to wake up the world. I love the work that you're doing. What is something that people blame that's actually within their control?
They blame that they can't. And a lot of that time is they just don't know how, right? You don't know the right questions. I mean, even podcasts, you know, there's so many different ways that I teach people how to get their message out. And, what I've also found, people want to get their story out, but I want to protect mom and dad or whomever within their story. And I go, so what I taught people to do when I sit with them is how about really just tell a story, and it doesn't have to be your name. So, it doesn't have to be a story about Dave. It's about a guy who, was born a bunch of years ago, and this is what happened to him. And for those people, they feel much better. They also are then able to hear through, talk through their own story. And that's why storytelling is one of the biggest things that everybody could do to get out of there. And if anybody has a pet, look into the pet's eyes. That's one of the things I'd say is they're a sentient being, and there's a life in there. I don't care if they understand you, but they understand your energy. And I've worked and I've been trained to help people tell their story to a horse. I've done equine therapy and things like that. Think about it. I don't know if you have any pets. If you talk to your dog or your cat, right? They, oh, you're crazy. I'm not crazy, right? Your dog and your cat. And cats do understand exactly what you need at that moment. Dogs do without understanding the same language.
No, absolutely. And trust me, I talk to my pets. I have like my little soul pet. She's a sphinx, literally a soul pet. And I have three cats and two dogs. We have two bunnies. I even talk to my fish. So there's that. But I do think, it is practicing the story, talking to them. I think it builds that muscle.
For sure.
How do you build consistency between what you believe and what you do?
I always go back to my authentic self, right? So I know what I believe. Might just need the right language. I don't want to offend anybody. I have everybody's beliefs, but what you do is you can just go back to who you are. What was your happy time? What was your time? When I went back to that girlfriend I was talking about earlier. I mean, that's why I can't really see it that much here, but I have a mullet and people are like, oh, come on. I used to get a hard time when I played softball and the teammates were like, what's you with all the hair and stuff like that? I'm like, yeah, you guys can't grow it, but that's, it's being your most authentic self. Picture yourself, when were you the happiest? And that doesn't mean that there was everything perfect. Perfection is really overrated because it doesn't exist. It's an image. But when are you happy? What are your touchstones in life that you see a picture? I mean, you have six kids that all have a specialness to you. That, but there's probably like one image for each one of your kids that you're like, man, that was a great day. And that's really what it comes down to is look for your great days. And your great days could be repeated. Your great days could always be present. And that's what I do is just always make sure that I'm gratefulness. I wake up in the morning, no matter what I've experienced, I say thank you for getting me through the universe, get me through the day. And if I didn't learn what I needed to do, please, teach me or give me a sign to what I need to learn. That's why talking about it and having those type of conversations really helps everybody.
What role does discipline play in becoming who you say you are? Because you go back to authentic self a lot, and I think I very much align with you on that. But there is a level of discipline that had to come through for me to move the needle in my potential. What does it mean to you?
Sure, yeah, there is a discipline. You have to be completely focused. And I've definitely been one, again, in that squirrel syndrome where I've done a lot of things and I still do, to be honest. But when I focus on things, again, that book, Redemption, that I was telling you about earlier, that we published, people were like, you wrote that book in 6 weeks. Oh, you used AI. No, I didn't. I go, what I did is I just focused. So it's how you focus, right? There's a lot of different ways to focus, and there's a lot of different, time management strategies where you work 25 minutes and then give yourself 5 minutes. There's a lot of different ways to do things. And depending on what you're blessed to have and how you manage your time, that's why I was never a point, even when I don't do things, it's not necessarily, oh, I don't have time. It's just I didn't make the right time for it. So you need to have that discipline and that growth. It's really what you want. I mean, that's why getting these books out, I didn't realize that, I had these books. I would have been writing them, some of them, for years. One actually, a series for 20 years.
Yeah.
It wasn't important to me. And then just recently, I had a health scare that I was like, these all would have died on my computer. I go, and while I'm recovering, that's exactly what I'm doing, is I'm editing the books, and I'm gonna launch it on my Phoenix Day, which is May 11th. And I love to then, have all these books, and then everybody's gonna go, I know, oh, he used AI, he's this. Well, I still spent the time. I didn't use AI, but I've been talking about all of these books for years. But the difference between discipline, where you're going back to, is knowing that no matter what, you don't stop. You can have your, breaks in time. You can have all that stuff. The discipline is getting back to it and getting back on the horse.
I very much agree with you. Just no matter how many times you get knocked down, get back up. And also, I think, people can see through the AI bullshit. You know what I mean? I think that's not even a conversation. I could care less if that was ever something people had to say, because I think everybody knows the truth. Like, you feel that human authenticity come through words no matter what. So that's
Yeah. Well, and again, there's always going to be somebody. So again, on my TEDx talk, which I admit wasn't the best performance, guess what? I look at the comments every now and then, and people are like, this guy was lost. You could see, he it was overwhelming, not knowing the story, and they're all trashing it. There's a bunch of trash comments. But the greatest thing that I'll tell you about is that 11 families reached out to me. And out of those 11 families, 9 of those people were contemplating suicide. And I'm not a therapist, so I don't, I can talk to them, but I don't get to handle that. But I got them to at least talk to somebody and then get their professional help. 2 of the families had already experienced loss due to suicide, but then they at least got to talk to me, my story, and gave them some sort of compassion. And that's what I think we really need to do, is more compassion and know that whatever anybody else is going through, really, there's no reason to kind of do that. And if anybody wants to say, hey, this is all AI, I'm like, well, great, then I'm still publishing it. And, read the story, and you could decide where, the AI jumped in and it didn't. And you're not going to find it, because when you have those conversations with me, I'll tell you about all those deep, dark stories. Because most people who will generate a book on AI aren't going to know all that. They're just going to rush to push it out. I'm going to tell you the whole story, because story is so important in my life.
And I mean, story is important, I think, everywhere. And I think that is a huge missing piece now with, social media. And again, it's like a double-edged sword for me. But like, we're missing the stories. And so people are just in this judgment,
Yeah.
nasty, nasty space. Keyboard warriors, man. They're
Well,
out there, they're
that's it.
real.
It's easy to say, when I'm even on a Zoom call, oh, this and that, and what are you doing? You're inauthentic. Okay, that's good. Now, why don't you meet me? And then once they, 95% of people who meet me are like, wow, not only are you the same guy that I have met on Zoom, but there's so much more. I'm like, yeah, that's why while we have these keyboard warriors, I'm like, you still need the live. There's nothing like a hug. There's nothing like a handshake. That's where we have to do it. And getting our stories out, that's where we need the human connection again. And that, going back to why people need to have those stories, is because we're all humans. We all need to show how we're connected, because it feels so much better when you get a call from an old friend who you might not have heard in a while, and there's that connection versus somebody who you might not know, who still might connect with you, but there's something deeper when you're in person.
That's I love the show because I've had so many conversations where I get to hear stories, even with people I don't align with when it comes to ethics and values and core beliefs. I don't align with them. We have this incredible story, and I have a different perspective rather than just you don't believe what I believe, so we're done. It is that giving people space to kind of this is what they believe, this is the origin story of why. Maybe I couldn't sign off on everything, but there's a different level of understanding, right? But that's the point of stories, that is that human connection. What is something you had to change about yourself to grow into this version of you, Dave, David?
Yeah, so I had to drop. I was an angry person. I'd been picked on, and family issues as well. So I was an angry person. I would raise my voice a lot. So losing some of that anger, I mean, that's what's cost me. It's cost me everything in my life, when I, if I'm really honest, and knowing how to self-control myself a lot better. That self-regulation. That self-awareness really is so important. There were times I was like, well, everybody's going to know my heart. And yes, they might, but they might not always know my perspective. And they have their own perspectives, the stuff that they're carrying. So that self-awareness has been really one of the things that I really learned, because that I needed to drop. I'm always saying to people, well, you have to unlearn. Not only are the things that we have to learn, but the things that we have to unlearn are really just as important as the things we need to learn.
I think that is key, and that's a great message for the audience for sure. And we're coming up on our time, so I want to ask you my final question. What is something in your life right now that you know you should be doing better at?
Well, so I just 2 weeks ago I had a stent put in, so I know I need to start eating better, which the past two. The past 2 weeks have been so I like I always say, there's mirrors in my house. When the doctor said, well, you need to reduce weight, and I was like, yeah, I didn't I from my medical school I knew that, but I didn't realize the situation I was in. So for me, getting back into the stuff that I love doing, the physical, going to the gym. I like going to the gym. I have a bunch of stuff in my house, and that's one of the things that going forward, the end of the year, probably in the next 6 weeks. I keep joking around with people. I go, between the next 6 to 8 weeks, watch what you'll see. It'll be better weather where I live. I'll be outside a lot more, and with this approach, I'm gonna, not reinvent myself, but I'll be in better shape.
I love that. And congrats on the journey, on the mission for that. And glad they caught
Thank you.
everything early and that all worked out. And you're here today. That's amazing.
It was a wackiest story. I was watching Good Morning America, and Sam Champion had come on and was said, "Men, we have to talk about men's health and heart." And he had a very
What?
similar, and he had a similar experience. And that I didn't even get out of bed. I was just watching. I was, got my phone. I Googled, my health coverage, my area in Massapequa here in New York, and cardiologist. This one doctor had an appointment at 3 p.m. in the, that afternoon, and we just started the roller coaster since that. It was really just the way the universe aligned for me in a very lucky way.
No, that is amazing. And I also love that you brought something real to the conversation of like, no matter how successful we look with all the books we put out and all the things, like no matter what it is, we still always have something to work on.
Sure.
Always. And that's an incredible message. Also, working on health, I'm in that journey now. It's not the greatest time of my life because who likes that discipline? I'm tired of eating ground beef and rice every day, but here we are, right? Here we are. David, tell us how we can find your books. How do we get resourced with you? How does someone find you?
They can find me. The great thing about my last name, Shemetsky, very unique. DavidShemetsky.com. And I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, all as David Shemetsky. So it's you don't have to figure out. I try to make it as easy as possible. And YouTube as well. A lot of my podcasts I'm launching. I've had a bunch of episodes, so I'm re-engaging that way. And check out any of my books. I mean, they're on Amazon, or there's also links on my website.
Okay, perfect. And I'll have your website linked in the show notes. David, this is the part of the episode where I get to tell you what I think makes you special. And it's not just that you have a message, it's that you've had to live through that gap. You've had to face the difference between saying something and actually becoming it. And now you're helping people close that gap. And you're not just talking about change, you're living it. I think you stewarding your potential and doing all the things you can to get your m message out, I think bringing stories back to humanity is an incredible gift, and this is where real impact happens. So I respect and honor your work. I think it's amazing. To everyone listening, your life, that's your message, not your captions, not your words, not what you say you believe, but like your life. So the real question I want you guys to ask yourselves today is, does it match? God didn't call you to perform purpose. He called you to live it, to be radically honest with yourself. And please remember, your mess is your message. Even the gap, even the inconsistency, even the moments where you knew better, but you didn't do better. That is where your growth comes from. If this episode spoke to you, do us a favor. There is someone out there that needs to hear David's episode, that needs to get resourced with him. That means you have to help us share the show. Very unselfish thing. It takes a couple of seconds. Just share it with someone who you think needs it, or in your favorite group chat for the person you don't know that needs it. And if you guys are ready for the hot seat, come tell me why you're special. David, thank you so much for your time. This was a pleasure.
Thank you so much. This was awesome.